Good day, and welcome to the Nakilat first quarter 2019 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Youssef Husseini. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Youssef Husseini from EFG Hermes Research. Thank you for joining us today on Nakilat's first quarter 2019 results conference call. We have with us on the call today CEO Hani Abu Aker and the Head of Investor Relations, Fotios Zeritis. Without further ado, I'd like to hand the call over to Fotios to get us started. Please go ahead, Fotios.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Nakilat's first quarter 2019 conference call. The transcript of this call and presentation will be available on the investor relations section of our website. Now, please turn to your attention to the presentation. On the slide two, we have a disclaimer with regard to forward-looking statements that are made in the presentation. Slide three has a table of contents, and on slide four, you can find the glossary. In addition, some of our remarks contain non-IFRS financial measures, such as EBITDA. A reconciliation of this is included in the note of this presentation. Now, I would like to hand it over to the CFO of Nakilat, Mr. Hani Abu Aker.
Thank you, Fotios. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us again for our first quarter earnings results conference call. As we always said before, your participation is much appreciated, and Nakilat, we strive to maintain transparency and open communication with all members of the investment community. I will begin the call with the Nakilat financial highlights for the first quarter of 2019. Fotios will take us with an update of an overview of the LNG shipping market. Then I will take you through our business outlook for the rest of 2019, as well as the Nakilat five-year strategic map. Then we're going to open the floor for all of you for any questions that you might have. At page five, we illustrate Nakilat business structure in order to familiarize our company profile to new institutional investors who have just recently placed us on their radar. As you can see, there are a few business development that has recently updated our Nakilat profile. The company continued to grow its international portfolio through the recent expansion with Maran Gas Ventures to include four additional LNG carriers. With the four LNG vessels under the new joint venture, the number of vessels Nakilat fleet will increase to 74 vessels, accounting for approximately 12% of the global LNG fleet in carrying capacity. Furthermore, Nakilat has signed an agreement with McDermott to form a joint venture company providing offshore and onshore fabrication services in Qatar. This new joint venture comes at a strategic time with Qatar's ambition to localize its energy sector supply chain and increase its LNG production in the coming years. Now, please turn to slide number six and seven. As you can see, it has been an incredible successful quarter for Nakilat in terms of delivering sustainable bottom-line growth for our shareholders by executing our well-planned business strategy. Nakilat has also achieved ample operation efficiency. Following the strong operating performance through rationalization of operational expenses and continuing fleet growth, today I am delighted to report a great company performance result for both EBITDA and net profit for the first quarter of 2019. This emphasizes Nakilat's ability to deliver impressive earning and operating cash flow during seasonally soft LNG spot market. Now, I will take you through Nakilat financial performance. Our profitability has increased by 9% compared to last year quarter, mainly due to the acquisition of two LNG carriers, one FSRU, and another major factor that helped us for our bottom line was the higher level of activities at our shipyard facility. Other critical elements that have significantly contributed to higher profitability were lower operating expenses and G&A, increase in interest income from bank deposits, dividend received from shares listed on Qatar Stock Exchange that owned by the company. Furthermore, Nakilat EBITDA was up by 2.2% year over year to reach 708 million Qatari riyal. Operationally, our total expenses and G&A decreased in the first quarter by 1.1% and 3.2% respectively compared to the same period in 2018. This is mainly due to Nakilat's continuous effort for cost optimization and ensuring that we employed enhanced efficiencies in every element within our operating model. Also, our total operating expense decreased by 1.1% year over year. Turning to slide number 9, we can see that strong, healthy balance sheet with a total asset of 29.9 billion riyal, as well as a cash balance of 2.5 billion riyal. The investment in joint venture increased mainly due to the share of operating profits, hedge gain, and investment in new joint ventures. Moreover, our scheduled debt amortization continues the repayment with free up our balance sheet capacity. Specifically, borrowing has reduced by almost 3.1 billion over the last 5 years, while at the same time we have acquired additional 11 LNG carriers and one FSRU. Now, I would like to hand it back to Fotios to give you an overview of the LNG shipping market. So, Fotios, if you can please take it from there.
Thank you, Hani. Now, I would like to give you an overview of the LNG shipping market. The world is thirsty for clean energy, and this need has created a huge demand for LNG, which produces less carbon dioxide than coal and oil. In this prospering LNG market, the most precious commodity is the vessel. You need to understand that without LNG carrier, the LNG as commodity cannot reach to any end user worldwide. If you turn to the slide 11, although we saw spot rates drop in the first quarter, long-term contracts remain robust, clearly illustrating the strong fundamentals of the LNG shipping market. You can see that when different companies, such as trading house Vitol, the world's largest LNG buyer Gera, and European utility Endesa, have chartered vessels for 8 to 12 years at healthy level of 70 to 75,000 per day. As slide 11 shows, shipping spot rates for DFDs dropped from 66,500 per day in the first quarter of 2018 to 49,500 per day in the first quarter of 2019. Following the same trend, spot rates for steam vessels fell from $40,000 per day in the first quarter of 2018 to $34,000 per day in the first quarter of 2019. This downward trend can be attributed to a mild winter, high LNG stock levels, and low gas prices, which reduce the need for Asian markets to import LNG on long-haul routes, lowering the demand for LNG ships. The short to medium-term LNG new build front remains healthy, with 13 LNG carriers on orders during the first quarter of 2019. The current level of LNG new build prices are approximately at $190 million per vessel. We expect this rising trend to be continued in the coming quarters. In relation to LNG trade, the global LNG imports rose by 13% year-on-year in the first quarter of 2019. Main contributors of this LNG growth demand were China, with an increase of 15% year-on-year, and Europe, with an increase of 81% year-on-year. The LNG supply growth remained the first quarter came mainly from the United States, Australia, and Russia. Regarding the LNG supply, we observed that the total incremental LNG fleet growth was minimal at 2% in terms of number of ships during the first quarter of 2019. If you turn to the slide 12, you can see the development of global LNG fleets with 490 vessels in operation and 112 vessels on order book, which implies an increase of 23% of the total LNG fleet in terms of number of vessels as of March 2019. It is worth of mentioning that approximately the 40% of the current order book is charter-free and available to be absorbed by the new upcoming wave of LNG supply in the coming few years. The order book is a testament of the confidence of the LNG ship owners for the solid fundamentals of the LNG shipping market. During the first quarter of 2019, 90% of the global LNG fleet was chartered for longer than 6 months. 6% of the fleet was laid up, and the remaining 4% it was only on the spot market. Now, if you turn to the slide 13, you will see that the LNG shipping market balance is expected to be much tighter by 2020 as the new LNG capacity comes to the market. From this expected 65 million tons of LNG, which will come to the market by 2022, approximately 60% of it is coming from the United States, which translates an increase of ton miles and the need of shipping tonnage. In the next 18 to 24 months, the LNG charter rates are expected to be volatile due to the ramping up of global liquefaction, U.S. LNG export, and high LNG demand from Asia. In the short term, however, the LNG shipping market is expected to be experiencing a seasonal softness due to the volatile of LNG price, delays in the startup of export projects, and some new builds that will be delivered ahead of their long-term employments. Last but not least, we have added an interesting graph on the page 13 within our presentation. This graph shows the LNG freight forward curves for steams, DFDs, and maybe XDFs until the third quarter of 2020. This recent development of LNG freight forward curve was produced by Affinity and gives a picture of the evolution of forward prices through time. The creation of LNG shipping forward curves shows the rapid evolution of LNG market to a more commoditized market. Please note that the same solution was developed for the oil crude tankers market in almost 20 years back. Overall, the LNG shipping market is still much healthier than the previous years. I would like to conclude by saying that the new liquefaction plants and an increase in global LNG demand will maintain the strong fundamentals of LNG shipping market. Now, I would like to hand it back to Mr. Hani to give you an insight into Nakilat's business outlook. Please go ahead.
Thank you again, Fotios. Moving to slide 15, I will take you through our business outlook for the rest of 2019. Nakilat is committed to meet all of its strategic objectives. As the world's largest LNG shipping company, we are fully prepared to take advantage of the strong market fundamentals that Fotios talked about. In other words, Nakilat is very well placed to be in a very favorable strategic position to secure potential future business opportunities to expand its LNG portfolio globally. Furthermore, we have a great degree of confidence that the momentum to continue a higher utilization of our shipyard facilities, given what's going on the shipyard with a lot of maritime initiatives through the IMO new requirements and dry dock activities. Also, you should expect to see an increased JV income given a full impact of the two additional LNG vessels and the inclusion of one FSRU back in June 2018. In addition, we continue to be focused on expanding our business portfolio in terms of strategically balanced growth and diversification. The strong fundamentals of LNG market that Fotios talked about earlier improved the sentiment of owners and created an attractive investment environment for us and to anyone who's in the LNG shipping to capture the new business opportunities and profitable assets. As we did in the first quarter of 2019, we expanded our LNG fleet with four additional LNG carriers, which they will be fitted with the latest technology system, and these vessels will be commercially and technically managed by Nakilat with the delivery time between 2020 and 2021. As we have highlighted before in previous quarter, we would like to share with you our Nakilat strategy map for the next 5 years between 2019 and 2023, which has been approved recently by our board of directors. In order for us to deliver our vision to be a global leader and provider of choice for energy, transportation, and maritime services, we have spent a lot of time to understand that what does this vision could be translated to. And we found there's the three elements that we would like to have as an outcome in order for us to achieve that vision. One of it is basically the size and maintaining our market share. Also, we would like to be not only just the biggest ship owner, but also we want to demonstrate our capabilities as an operator. And that's where we look at to be one of the top performer in terms of operational excellence. After doing both of these things, we would like to be acknowledged by our stakeholders and customers to understand that we are truly the global leader by improving our brand and value. So in order to do that, we have went through an extensive top-down and bottom-up strategy analysis, and we have translated into four main strategic themes, which will be focused by everyone at Nakilat. We're going to look at sustainable growth, operational excellence, customer engagement, and organizational performance enablement. To give you more color on Nakilat's four main strategic themes, you can see the expected outcome of the strategy plan at the top of that three columns, such as boost profitability, increase market share, Nakilat to be the top performer, and improve the brand value. These expected outcomes are the result of our five-year strategy, and they will be visible to all shareholders and stakeholders going forward. Let me explain to you further how the flow of the process works in order to have the final desired outcome and sustainable growth. We start at the bottom with organizational performance element enablement. At Nakilat, we believe that our success has been and shall continue to be internally generated through a high-caliber workforce that forms our most valuable asset. After we move upward to our internal processes, such as materializing profitable business opportunity and build market intelligence and capabilities to develop growth strategies. I just want to highlight all of these items that I'm talking about. There's a lot more of initiatives and KPI behind them in order for us to be able to deliver the outcomes on the top. When both enablers, which is the internal with enablers and internal processes are set, we go ahead to deliver an integrated energy transportation to our customers. And as a result, we believe that we will be able to increase our market share and boost the profit potential for our shareholders. As per Nakilat 5-year strategy, you can see also that the same defined path for operational excellence and customer engagement. And the operational excellence main objectives are to continue to be one of the top performers. To meet these objectives, we need to provide a safe and reliable service to improve our cost efficiency and enhance performance through effective monitoring and evaluation. What does that mean for you guys as a KPI? Eventually, we want to be the provider of choice when people think about reliability, safety, and also cost effectiveness. So we believe that we will be able to manage our cost structures so we can save more money in the way we operate and reducing our per unit costs. So basically it will translate to an actual bottom line and profit increase. On the customer engagement, main objectives are to improve Nakilat brand value, and we're going to continue to do an intensive IR activities to promote our corporate image and establish customer value. The main scope of this strategic theme is to provide the optimum outcome for Nakilat shareholders, such as boosting the profitability, increasing market share to be the top operational performer, and improve Nakilat corporate brand. Now, I think we can open the floor for questions if it is needed.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We'll now take the first question from Mohamed Meniaway from Sirico. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having the call. I have a couple of questions, if you don't mind. How does your charter rates compare to the one mentioned in the long-term contract, which I suppose to be over the same, like, with the government, which is, if I'm not mistaken, 20-plus years?
Look, the charter rate, as we said, for the Jera or Trafigura is approximately 775. It's higher, actually. Our,
I'm sorry, it's what?
Our charter rates are higher. Our charter rates for our long-term contracts are higher than this one.
Okay. And when is your next contract with the government expiring?
Our contracts usually with Qatargas are long-term, meaning that they are 25 years. So if you assume that the contract started 10 years
ago, then we would expect it that, after 15 years. Okay. And there's an option of the new 5 plus, so 10 years.
We have also optionals.
Okay. My second question is regarding your receivables. I can see a $400 million increase in receivables in first quarter. Can you please clarify that?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, regarding your receivables, I can see a 400 million riyals increase in your receivables as the first quarter. So can you clarify on that?
Yeah, that usually is could be from a related. It's within internal companies that potentially that, let's say, we are expecting to be received. But that usually is a timing difference with the receivable that we should really expecting. I can give you more details maybe after the call if you don't mind. I can get you the details of the breakdown. What's the reason for that?
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
We'll take it as a point, and we will send you exactly the details, actually to everyone, about the details why that increase in 400 million.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
The next question will come from Nafaz Alabas of Ajij Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you again for the call, and congratulations on the great results. I just have a question regarding the news that QP invited tenders for reserving ship construction capacity for an LNG carrier fleet for its North Field expansion project. Is this going to be separate from your company, or would that bring an opportunity for Nakilat to expand their fleet? Because obviously if Qatar continues and successfully increases their capacity to the 110 million from the 77 million tons of LNG, wouldn't that require more ships from Nakilat to basically handle that capacity?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. First of all, any information about the expansion, it is a clear decision for Qatar Petroleum and Qatar Gas. We're not going to, as Nakilat, comment on their behalf. They do their own assessment and exercises about the number of vessels that is needed. However, I would like to highlight to you that we have a long relationship and collaboration with them already through our current portfolio. We believe that Nakilat, as the largest shipping company that is based in Qatar, we have a successful proven track record of commercial and technical and operational expertise. We aim to grow our portfolio internationally or locally and diversify our the clientele. However, as we said before, we are always going to be happy and ready to support Qatar's plans to expand their LNG production by providing them our LNG shipping capacity or expertise. And definitely, we are happy to participate and be part of that expansion. But however, we will always look at it from purely economic, feasible projects as for any other project. So I think it's premature about that we can provide any further details. However, we will be aiming to really secure the same as any other clients or charterers that we have.
Thank you very much. I just have a small follow-up question. I know it's difficult to give a clear answer. We're just asking for an approximate expert trajectory just to understand. Because the question basically is, do you have the balance sheet capacity to grow your main LNG fleet significantly? I mean, just talking a bit about very rough numbers without any precise answers. Let's say if you need to increase by like 10 or so number of large vessels to meet this capacity, for example. I mean, we're just talking about a hypothetical scenario. How much do you have the capacity to raise debt for that, or do you think you will need a rights issue? Or, I mean, I want to get a rough understanding of what are the options for Nakilat to, in case they have this demand, do you have the capability to basically do it? I understand the market will be very supportive to the company because you have done a great job so far. And you're reducing your debt. That is great. And I think with the long-term contracts, you have many options. I think you can still go to the debt market and even increase your leverage for if you want to expand your fleet. But is that an option, or do you think there are limitations?
Okay. It goes without saying that we at Nakilat, we will aim at maximizing the number of LNG vessels that we can secure in any tender that is available for us that we can find, whether it's locally or internationally. I think we have a strong balance sheet, and which has given us a lot of financial strength to secure the required capital to maximize the number of vessels that we can get for any kind of a project. So we have a lot of options that we will explore in order for us to maximize our shareholders' return. Yes, I can say that we got a lot of options that we can really explore for us to really ensure that we can secure the maximum out of this tender or any potential tenders that can come to Nakilat. And hopefully we will let you know, but in the near future. But however, it's premature to discuss because there's a lot of details still is not available. The cost of these vessels and the number of vessels, to be more specific. But are we as a company getting ourselves ready for this potential opportunity? Yes, for sure. We are looking at our internal capabilities and financial strength and options to secure whatever capital that is required.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you can signal by pressing star one, my apologies. The next question will come from Nikhil Arora. Okay, my apologies. The last question has just dropped, so there's no further questions in the queue. The next question will come from Shabir Kagalwala of Al Rayan Investment. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, thank you for the call. I had just one question. You mentioned about adding 4 ships this quarter by Maran JV and expected time of delivery of 2020-2021. Are these new vessels currently under construction or some brownfield vessels just with retrofitting based on the specifications? And do you have any current long-term charters on these vessels? Thank you.
As we have announced, we have 4 vessels. They are under construction in South Korea. It's actually for delivery in 2019 and 2020. And we formulate a commercial strategy for these vessels because these vessels is the first time that we expand through JV and we'll have the commercial and technical management of these new vessels. Now, it depends on the strategy, it depends on the opportunity that we'll have, and we'll look at everything possible, long-term, medium-term, it depends, whatever makes economic sense.
So as of now, you don't have a set charter on it. So once it comes closer to the delivery time, you will have formal charters on it. And is it will be deployed in the region or it will be outside, or is anything decided on that?
We have already, because we have these vessels to be delivered in the later in the part of 2020 and 2021, we're already doing our homework by marketing them for international clients, and even if any clients that are available, whether locally or internationally. These vessels are going to be delivered in the later part of 2020 and some of them in 2021. We should really expect them to be more likely to an international customers, as we have done for the last 11 vessels, which they were jointly owned with Maran.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the conference back to your host for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you all for participating in our conference call. We will always encourage you to participate in the future. And we are very happy for any comments that you guys might have anytime, even after this conference call. For the first analyst or asset manager who asked about the increase in the receivable, I can see that it is intercompany between the accounts payable and the accrual. However, we're going to give you the details of that hopefully after this conference call. And then that's it. I'll leave it up to 40.
Thank you so much for your interesting question. All your question was well received. And as Hani said, we'll communicate capital markets feedback always to Nakilat's top management. Thank you so much for taking your time and join us today. Have a great day.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.